If you want to understand the true impact of the E-Government Act of 2002, which turns 10 this week, you can look no further than the regulations.gov website. This is a portal that lets citizens and anyone else really find and comment on proposed rules or interim rules coming out of federal agencies. Well, the site demonstrates this move across government to become more citizen-centered and collaborative, both of which are something that the E-Government Act put into law. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is here with analysis of the 10-year-old law and where the government needs to go next. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, so give us a little background here. The E-Gov Act was signed 10 years ago. How did it promote collaboration and citizen-centered government?
Yeah, it's interesting. Two words that we've become such part of the lexicon of the federal government now, citizen-centered and collaboration. But, you know, the 72-page bill actually was ahead of its time in many respects. It took what the Bush administration was doing back in 2001 and when it first came into office with its e-government strategy that was published back then and then expanded on it and actually put it into law, recognizing in many respects where the government needed to go and was starting to go. Kevin Landy was the former staff member who worked on the bill for author and Senator Joseph Lieberman. He says that there were some sporadic efforts early on to change the way the government interacts with citizens, and Senator Lieberman even put out an online portal asking for ideas to how to change the government's approach to serving the public. Landy says that online portal, those suggestions that Senator Lieberman got from the public became the launching point for the bill, which was introduced by Senator Lieberman in May 2001.
I think there were two central aspects to it. One was the core notion we all think of when we think of e-government, streamlining access for citizens to information and services, breaking through agency stovepipes so that the information is organized according to the needs of the citizen, not according to the organization of the agency. And in order to effectuate that, you need centralized, effective leadership coming out of OMB. And for that, the E-Government Act legislation created a very strong chief information officer position at OMB that would have extraordinary powers to lead intergovernmental efforts.
Now, Landy says that reorganization of the Office of Management Budget with that e-government administrator for an IT administrator helped ensure agencies were moving in the right direction, meaning try to get everyone down the same path. Karen Evans was actually the second OMB administrator for e-government IT. She came into her position in 2003 and was actually responsible for implementing much of the act. Now, she says agencies at OMB had a lot to do under the law, including updating privacy regulations, ensuring the federal IT workforce was trained properly, and addressing even things like common standards for geographic information systems. Now, Evans, Landy, and several others spoke yesterday at the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation's event in Washington, kind of celebrating and looking ahead at the E-Government Act's 10th anniversary. While there was a lot to do, a lot of the panelists pointed to one specific section, Section 207 of the bill, because it really stood out on the impact of government. Dan Chinock is a former OMB career staff member who handled the negotiations with Congress. He's now the executive director at the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Chinock discusses why Section 207 was so important.
Which had a whole range of information policies that OMB developed over the course of the next 2 years that still to this day are basically a lot of the policy framework. So a number of the infrastructure from security and privacy to information policy that basically now drives the innovation agenda and allows it to go forward in a positive way really had their birth for the government in the E-Government Act and how that came together.
So, Jason, you know, the law also impacted IT-related cybersecurity and acquisition. A lot of big changes there over the last decade.
Absolutely, and it's actually two of the areas that most people don't really consider the E-Government Act addressing. But, you know, part of the E-Government Act was the Federal Information Security Management Act, or now what we know as FISMA, and that had a huge, huge impact across government. Tom Davis is the former congressman from Virginia and co-author of FISMA. He's now a principal at Deloitte. Now, he says FISMA came in under the radar when many people weren't really considering what cybersecurity was and why it was so important, and that was part of the reason it became the last major cyber bill passed by Congress. Now, Dan Chinock from IBM says FISMA's long-term impact on the government was actually greater than he thought many people expected when it was originally passed.
Because of the introduction of FISMA into the overall statute, it created, on the privacy impact assessment, basically a framework for security and privacy to enable information technology advances as something that was core in the same statute. So it wasn't like you had a security law over here and then an e-government law over here. They were really seen as part of an overall information technology whole.
Now, Karen Evans says the acquisition piece and the security piece helped actually bring the federal government more closely together with the state governments, because all of a sudden they had these set of standards that everyone could kind of go down the path by. She also says the technology and procurement provisions within the eGov Act actually helped force those integrations between the governments and between vendors and the government. So there's these pieces that kind of came through the eGovernment Act that people don't think of. They think of eGovernment, they think of changing the way they do business, but in fact, the security side and the acquisition side really also received a big boost.
You're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So, Jason, what are some of the areas the government is going to focus on over the next 10 years because the eGov Act is still in effect?
Absolutely. Now, we've all heard the buzzwords cloud and mobile and data center consolidation, but I think that's all summed up in the way the government's going to deliver services to its citizens and receive, if you will, from vendors, the way that the technology and applications in the future. Now, Mark Forman is the former OMB administrator for e-government and IT. He was the first one. He's now the co-founder of Government Transaction Services, which helps agencies manage grants better. He says there's a new productivity model that the government is moving toward. He says there's several different pieces to it. The first one is the fact that information is now much more open. And there's a lot out there for people to use. The second areas are commoditization of IT and shared services.
The real issue here is IT has rapidly become a service, and the services are commoditized. They tend to be transactional. Government hasn't quite figured this out yet, but it will over the next 10 years. And via that, we'll understand what is the service the government's supposed to provide, and how much of that service is a utility, essentially, that can be highly automated, and how much of it's knowledge-based, and what is government's catalog of services. The third thing is that the efficiency gains have to come from distributed input. The productivity of the government employee operating in a silo is a model of the 20th century. And in the 21st century, the model has to be real-time assembly of the people that have the insights. I believe that the one metric, response time for government, how fast does it take for government to make a decision?
Now, Forman says one of the most important changes that needs to happen is in the area of identity management. Now, we've seen several initiatives over the last decade, the e-authentication project, Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12, and now the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, or NSTIC. All of those have been trying to deal with this idea of access management, authorization of who you are into systems. But Forman says if that doesn't happen, that's really the key piece to these new delivery models. Now, we also heard from Doug Bourgeois. He's the chief cloud officer for VMware Public Sector. He also is a former director at the Interior Department's National Business Center. He says the culture change about the role of IT is what really needs to continue to happen over the next decade.
The role of IT is now becoming that of a true service provider. But most IT organizations were not structured and are not cultured and are not staffed and are not led in a way that is conducive to delivery as a service. And so the fundamental transformation that needs to occur while it's happening now at the technological level with cloud computing needs to go way, way, way beyond that to the organizations that are leveraging technology for the good of the overall mission.
Now, the panelists seemed to agree yesterday that the eGovernment Act helped really start that culture change. Obviously, there's plenty of remaining challenges. Any time you have a celebration of a passage of a law, people tend to focus on what worked really well. But there are some still definitely challenges out there. Mark Forman, for instance, points to the idea of you got to reduce the number of applications agencies support. How much software how many duplicative copies of software. He says that's actually the big red herring around data center consolidation. If the agencies don't reduce the number of apps they support, then the savings from data center consolidation really will not be as significant as it could be. Additionally, there's a lot of expectation around innovations in technology and the help with the big data problem. Panelists agreed that both healthcare and national security or the intelligence community are two of the areas that will benefit most from this technology around the big data problem. And then finally, I have to mention that you have, if you look at the all the different laws that have come out around IT, it starts with Clinger Cohen, it goes to the eGovernment Act, and now Daryl Issa, the congressman from California and the chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, is planning on introducing in the new year, a new IT reform bill. So that's going to build upon both of those other bills, and that's actually going to kind of look at what, okay, so what's happening in the world in terms of IT, and how can it go forward? What are some of the laws, regulations that need to be changed? So that will give us something else to talk about for the next decade or so.
And Jason, I can't help but wonder why on the agenda yesterday, looking at all the speakers, there was nobody who is in the administration now there. It was all the people that got the eGov Act enacted back then. And I'm sure Mark Forman had a pocket version of his famous wedding cake diagram. The old timers will remember what I'm talking about. But what about the new people? Where were they? Where was Rand Rockel and crowd?
I happen to agree with you. It was a little surprising there were no CIOs. I mean, not even someone who's been around for a long time. Like, you know, I could think of Dave Wintergreen, for instance, who was the chairman of the CIO Council before, you know, after Karen Evans was, and he was there for a long time and helped do a lot of this. Or some of the longtime CIOs that are still around. I thought it was interesting that this was a panel of very smart people, but all of them were former government people. And there was no government people there. And that just was, for note, just for the record, Mark Forman did not use the term lipstick on a pig.
All right. Well, that's good to hear that one. Maybe that's what scared the new people away.
That's what retired.
Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you.